naked shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Okay, hey, what's up, everybody? Iggy here. Just want to welcome you to the show. Iggy Garcia Live. Let me adjust cameras here a little bit. There we go. That's better. All right, so thanks for tuning in with Insights Radio. Thank you for hosting this podcast. We are live here on Facebook and wherever the podcasts are free. So after this show is recorded, it will be transmitted onto YouTube. So join my YouTube channel and subscribe to It's Good to Be Here. Just look for Iggy Garcia. It's Good to Be Here. That's one of my channels. So be able to go in with that. So just a couple things. Just want to let you know I'm going to be in Bell Fountain doing a class on urban, suburban shamanism, improving shamanism. It's class two. So we'll be doing that as Endoa Healing Arts Center. It's in Bell Fountain, Ohio. So those of you who are interested in going to that class, closing up pretty quick. Would suggest you probably take the first class. That'll make it a lot easier. I mean, you can take this class, but after this class, you have to take one and two to keep up with what we're learning. So, but like we do every show, we want to give thanks to the people who came before us, the ancestors. So we're going to light a candle here. We're going to burn a little sage too. Ceremonial sage. Just kind of cleanse, purify our energy. A little Palo Santo too. Once we move the negative energy, we want to bring back in the energy, the cleansing energy, the grounding energy. Feels good. Excellent. Let those burn there while the show's going on. So this candle represents the light within ourselves, the light that is part of who we are, this special little flame that help humanity grow into what it is today. Some of us take this little fire for granted. So this little candle that I light is that spark, that little spark of life, that little energy that we all come from, you know, from the universal explosion to the creation, and also to our ancestors, those people who helped us navigate into this path. We are here because of them. And regardless of how we feel about their who they are or what they did or how they treated us, it's kind of irrelevant. You know, the only thing we can do is give thanks to them for life, you know, because if that's all we're grateful for, that's all we're grateful for. In my case, I'm grateful for a lot of things. Grateful for my mom and dad for what they've given. I'm grateful for my grandparents, regardless of, you know, if they were in or not in my life, you know. Give thanks to my grandmother, Kucha, who really worked on teaching me this fine arts of this shamanic path that I'm on, and my dad. Those two people were really intricate pieces of why I do the work I do. They always encouraged me to do it, especially my father. Even though he'd make fun of me at times, call me loco indio. I'm a crazy Indian. That's what he called me. But, you know, that was like a pet thing. It was a cute thing, so don't take offense to it at all. So I give thanks to my mom, my dad, and wherever they are in the universe, wherever they are residing now and living their life and doing what they do. I want to thank them. Just thank them. Thank you, mommy and papi. Thank you, grandma and grandpas, and all the grandma and grandpas before them, and all the people who helped make me and my brothers and sisters. We don't think about these things sometimes. We don't think about why and how we got here. We just know sometimes we're here. and, you know, not to dwell so much on what they did or didn't do, you know, it's more about what do we do now? We're here. We have arrived to this moment in time. We are here. I'm 56. You may be 10, 12, 30, 100, 90. Regardless, you're here. So you have to, you know, say, hey, okay, here we are. We made it. We're here. So thanks to all of my ancestors. So I will talk about my ancestors throughout the show. We're talking a little bit about what they've created, what they've helped, and how they got us here. And then I like to use a little bit of essential oil too, just to kind of set the tone, relax a little bit. And so just put that behind your ears. Third eye. Wrists. Hopefully it doesn't relax me too much. Put me to sleep. I'm like halfway through the show, I wake up with drool drawing into my mouth. No, it's teasing. But here we go. There we go. That feels better. Let us take a deep breath through the nose. One of the most powerful things you can do for your body is breathe, but breathe properly. Breathe in a way that's, you know, positive in a good way. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about how relevant is the medicine wheel in 2023 in our life today and society today. As we take our indigenous cultures and we move it through time and space and into our families and teaching each other, is the medicine wheel relevant today? Is that something that is, those of us who study this indigenous cultures, these shamanic ways, these Native American ways, are these things relevant today? You know, for some of us, we don't even know what a medicine wheel is. You know, a medicine wheel could be all kinds of things. So, for example, I have a copy of a medicine wheel here. This is my medicine wheel. This is something that I did for a construction or creation of work I do. That's one. This is my personal wheel. Everybody has their own personal wheel, how they construct and work things. And then I also have my indigenous line medicine wheel, which is the Chicana. Chicana, as you can see, as it breaks down. The Chicana is actually a bridge. It's actually a bridge, not necessarily a cross. Everybody confuses it as a cross. It's not a cross. It's a stepping stone that goes around. You're moving through the different levels of, you know, what is above, middle earth, lower earth, you know, and you move through that energy. So is the medicine wheel relevant? I would have, for me personally, I would say yes, it's relevant to me. It's relevant to the work that I do. It's a roadmap. It's a way of looking at things and approaching things in a way that's completely different than how I was probably raised. I was raised Catholic. I was raised in the Christian belief system. And I still have, there are aspects of the Christian faith that I admire. There's some things about it that I like, and there's some things I don't like. There's, you know, I was surprised. I looked up, and I don't know why, because, you know, my mother-in-law does a Bible study on Wednesdays, and every time I hear her talk about God, you know, and how God was, I hear how destructive God was in the Old Testament. And I know we live in the New Testament and we've evolved and moved down that era into newer and loving energy. But just to think, and I looked it up in the Bible, God had destroyed many things over 156 times that mentioned destruction and destroying and killing. So, you know, I personally had a hard time with that as growing up as a kid, going to school, Catholic school, and in learning how destructive that this creator was. And I'm not here to poo-hoo on anybody's religion, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm just talking about how I felt about it. and how I was called to this path of indigenous culture that was part of my family. It's a historical lineage of my family. We have shamans in our family. You know, we call them curanderos, you know, brujos, whatever you want to call them. We have them. They're in my family. There's nothing we can do about it. There are people who practice it and there's people who don't. But we have it. Indigenous cultures, as much as we try to avoid them and not talk about them, they do exist. They are here today. They're always prevalent and people teach. This is how we learn the things we learn through herbology, you know, tinctures and growing sage and different things that some of us do. You know, this is things that were part of indigenous cultures because that's the way we lived. We used to, you know, we used to eat things that we could eat from the woods, you know, things we could eat from nature. You know, the reason we have a lot of starving people in our society today is because we've lost our way. We lost our way in order to grow and to eat the way we used to eat. You could tell people today they're homeless and they're starving because they really don't know how to forage for the food that we used to forage naturally. There's a lot of foods out there. If we'd study and learn, we could forage. And this is part of the medicine wheel. This is part of the wheel. And this is the balance and the imbalance of what's in our systems. So it's important to understand that we've lost our way because we wanted to create a whole different system that is hierarchy. There's a lot of hierarchy. You know, we have our jobs, we have our jobs, we have our jobs, we have our jobs, we have our jobs. And then we have our homes, we have our homes, we have our homes, and we have our stores, we have our stores. Everything is kind of manufacturedly placed in a position where we don't have to really go out and search for things. We, you know, quite honestly, you don't have to grow a garden if you don't want to. Because, you know, you can go to the store, you can shop, and you got your tomatoes, you got bananas, you got all kinds of stuff coming from all over the world, right? But the thing is, that's not really a natural way of doing things. That's very unnatural. But it's natural to us because it's part of how we live right now. And unfortunately, I do see a time where we will not live like that anymore. At one point, we will be challenged and we will have to grow our own foods again because of the way we are harnessing energy from the earth and the way we are taking and stripping from it. You know, we can sit here and say we're not stripping from it and it's going to run out, whatever. I don't know if it's going to run out. Maybe it runs out. I don't know. But I do know one thing, though. The way when you start to break down pieces and parts of a living thing, well, it cannot sustain itself. It cannot be sustainable. So the Mother Earth, she does the best to sustain us by giving us life. We are sharing a symbiotic relationship between the two. Earth, humanity, animals, water, air. All these things are part of who we are and how we work together. But the problem is, here's the problem. Humanity doesn't know when to stop sometimes. We don't know when we've taken enough. But then we take just enough, and then we charge our brothers and sisters a crazy penny for the things that should be naturally available to us. A lot of the reasons we have problems, and this is what I talked about in my last show, is because things are out of balance. In the transition that we talked about transitioning and how we transition into these new world orders, these new world governments, these new world trades, and we go through that. So what I'm talking about is just the medicine wheel. Is it relevant in 2023? It is relevant for those who believe that it is. And that if for some people who don't know anything about medicine wheels, it's kind of irrelevant. The circle, the wheel, it moves around. And wherever you're in a circle, you see everything from different vantage points. So we're getting started. Everywhere you look, there are medicine wheels. Everywhere you look, there's a medicine wheel in your car. The wheel that spins on your car, that's a medicine wheel. That's a sacred wheel, a sacred sphere, a sacred geometry that moves energy, that moves system. You know, the gears in your watch, the gears in different things, even though they have teeth, it's still a gear. It's still a wheel of sorts moving. You know, just the way current and energy flows, you know, energy flows in a certain directions. So the medicine wheel is very prevalent in our world when we allow it to be, when we want to study. So in indigenous and in shamanic studies, shamanic ways of life, they have all kinds of things. So we have the hoop. The hoop, you know, it's all my relations. And that is the dirt. That is everything that it's tangibly we can see. That is the nervous system of the planet. The soil. The same way that our soil and our body. You know, we have oils, we have, you know, dirt, we have this skin that's on our body. It's just like the earth. And upon it lives things that we cannot see. There's hair, there's different things. You know, when you start looking at your arm, you start to notice the similarities to the nervous system of your body and how that works. You can feel it. You can feel. You know, for a lot of people, the earth is not a living being. They don't see it as a living being. They don't see her as something partaking like you and I are having this conversation. Because she's for a lot of people, an inanimate object, something that's not alive. But I'm here to tell you that the Earth Mother is very much alive. And she feels and she has feelings and emotions. And she knows how to fix herself. And, you know, she knows how to recalibrate herself. She knows how to bring back to her, bring back to center, the things she knows she needs to do in order to fix herself. Now, we are just guests on the planet. We are just here by invitation to partake and to be part of that. But our invitation will be slowly, irrevocably dismissed, and pushed away as we consume. You know, humanity is not the smartest creature on the planet. Humanity thinks they're the smartest creature on the planet, because if humanity was the smartest creature on the planet, we wouldn't have half the problems we have. We're so smart, we're dumb. You know, we're so dumb that we don't even know it. Every medication, everything that you see on the planet comes from Mother Earth. Even if man has altered it or changed it, it still comes from the earth, because you have to grab something from the sacred spirit of Mother in order to doctor it. Man-made things. Sure, man-made things. But it's still from Mother Earth. It's still from Sky Father. It's still from here. So no matter how creative you want to be, or whatever you want to create, or not create, poisons, you know, medicines, it all comes from her. It all comes from her. There's nothing that doesn't come from her. Not one dang thing that doesn't come from Mother Earth. Where do you think it's coming from? It's just not appearing out of the thin air, out of the blue, out of the ethers. Mother Earth is the reason we're alive. Without the system that's created here, that she creates every day, we wouldn't exist. We wouldn't be alive.
Excuse me.
We would not be alive. And we sit here in arrogance, thinking that we can control it. We can, you know, systematically change it. You know, we pump oil, we frack, we do all this stuff. You know, I understand that we need this stuff. I know we pull natural gas out of the ground, out of stones. You know, I understand we pull oils out of the water. I know that we take water and we use it to create things, and we use a lot of water. We use a lot of water to create things that are not necessarily good for us. You know, we may like the things we create with water, but water is just as important. So the nervous system, that's the soil, that's the earth, that's the crust of the earth. You know, all my relations, we call that all my relations. So everything that lives upon the earth is all my relations. Everything lives beneath the earth, all my relations. You are related to everything on this planet. Everything that you can come in contact with is your relation. And if you don't understand that concept, you have to really think about it, because that concept is not really, it's not a concept. It's a way of life. Knowing that everything has value. You know, this stone that I have right here, it's all my relations. You know, it has gone through a metamorphosis, a change. It's almost, it's just a rock. Just a rock. Sure, it's just a rock, but this rock has so much information, so much, you know, use. You know, we build roads with rocks. We build our buildings with these rocks. We crush them. We mold them down. We make them. We tear down the nervous system of the mother, and we make houses out of this. You know, we take that and we take this for granted. My friends, we take things for granted. You know, the sidewalks and the roads that you are on is of the mother, you know, the asphalt, the concrete. That comes from Mother Earth. It's just reconstituted. In the same way that we take it and we reform it, energy, you know, like energies attract, and these energies that we transmute. This is a good example of transmutation of energy. Transmutation of energy, you take something and it becomes something else. And that's what these stones, when we crush stone or we make wax or we take, you know, and there's a whole, I mean, I can look at my desk, there's a whole myriad of things that I can do. You know, the salts that have my, that comes from a salt cave or salt mine from someplace. So in the middle of the wheel, usually is where we sit, in the middle. And all the spokes come to us, work through us. You know, it's the hoop, you know, it's around us. And the earth is the hoop. And as we watch this hoop develop, we watch this hoop evolve every day, because it does. Every day this hoop is constantly in flux. You know, anytime we take from the hoop, we have to replace it with something, but we don't do that. Why is it that when we take trees from a forest, we don't plant new trees? Number one, we try to plant trees that don't necessarily grow very well. And it takes a long time for trees to grow. The trees are the most amazing things in our world. They're the most powerful sentient beings. You know, for scientists who think that trees don't communicate and don't talk, that's hogwash. Science always wants to prove things through the scientific method. They always want to prove that this works like this. No, man, that tree is alive, you know, as much as it's just like us. That tree is alive as much as we are alive. That tree also gets sick the way we get sick. That tree also gets diseased the way we sometimes have disease in our system. Sometimes ants go in there and they burrow and they carve it out. The tree may look fine on the outside, but in the inside, it's all damaged. And then you go into the root systems and you have all the mycelium and all the mushrooms, you know, all the fungi down there. And it's all in a network of communication. You know, there's different belief systems that trees communicate. They don't communicate, you know. Just because it doesn't speak like we speak or talk like we do doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't, that it's not real. It is. It is very much alive, like you and I are alive. Inside of our system is fungi, bacteria, and viruses that consummate and work through us, and they move through us. Now, sometimes host viruses and bacteria and fungi get into our system and they cause havoc because they don't belong there. And then we have a whole system of that battles and works through that. But inside of us is as much fungi, as much bacteria, is there as much viral, you know, components inside of us. We're just like Mother Earth. We're just like the medicine wheel. But in the middle is the three. It's the Sky Father, the Earth Mother, and ourselves. That's the triangular point, the three sides. So in religion, they call that the Trinity. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In us, it's Sky Father, ourselves, and Earth Mother. Because we're stewards of this earth. You know, we're here by invitation. We're here to take care of it, and take care of it we do. Sky Father is the immunity of the system. It's the immunity that creates, you know, self is the circulation. We're the ones that move the things. We're the ones that move the energy, you know, and Earth Mother is the intricate system. You know, the Earth Mother is, she's the intricate. But the thing is, we don't see it that way because we're living every day. And when we're living, constantly moving through the energy, we're not aware of what we're looking at sometimes. But the Mother Earth is very vital, very powerful. And so we sit in the hoop and we look north, south, east, and west, and beyond the hoop as well. But regardless, here we are. We're moving through that. Okay, so we're going to start. Let's go with, I'm going to talk about the animals a little bit too that are on these wheels, okay? So if you look at my diagram here, those of you can see it, I'm kind of broadcasting in two feeds here. So in the West, we seek counsel, okay? You know, that's the liver, the kidney, the gallbladder, the jaguar, the buffalo. It's the color blue or black. Now, don't get stuck in the color schemes, because here's what happens. People create wheels, people create systems, and then they think, well, that's our system, you know? Sure, you may have started, you may create, but you know, things evolve, things change. You know, as soon as someone created the wheel, someone invented the wheel, right? One day somebody said, I'm going to invent the wheel, or I've created a wheel, and then it starts rolling. And then from there, you got all kinds of wheels. You got big wheel, you got, you know, matchbox wheel, you got Corvette, you got big truck, you got big dozer, you got tanks, you got all kinds of things that start to develop. And so when I talk about the menace wheel, this is a personal menace wheel. This is indoctrinated through, you know, working with different groups, through the shamanic groups of that I work with, and with Native American groups of indigenous cultures, through the Nemanja, through the Shepton ways. And so all this stuff come together. So when we seek counsel, what does that mean? Well, we seek counsel from our ancestors. We seek, you know, from people who sit in the West, who are rooting us on, and they're the first pillars where they're teaching us, and they're sharing with us the things, that the knowledge that's been passed on to us. Those are our ancestors. That's why the buffalo is so prevalent in that, because the buffalo, its self-esteem is very, you know, stoic and very strong and very powerful energy. It's also the jaguar and the puma. You know, they're very stoic, they're very powerful, and they're very patient. And the buffalo is a very patient creature. So when you think about the West, what happens? The West is where energy moves, right? So that's where the liver and the kidneys and the gallbladder moves. So this is the ancestral things through our body. These are the things that cleanse. These are the things that move. These are the things that keep us healthy. But for many of us, we're not healthy because of these things being stagnated or compromised. Why are they compromised? Because we have induced and put into us, into our system, into our nervous system, and all different parts of the systems in our body in order for us to function properly. Why? Because this new world, this new society we live in, does not teach the fundamental basics of what it means to eat in a good, healthy way. Now, do I eat in a good, healthy way? No, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh yeah, I eat healthy. No, sometimes I am not as healthy as I would like to be, but I work hard every day to try to become better. We have to take care of our kidneys, take care of our gallbladders. Why? Because those are crucial. Now, we could probably live without a gallbladder, but it's going to be hard to live without a liver. It's going to be hard to live without a kidney. You can have one, and people have done it. But those are things that move the energy through space and time, just like our ancestral energy, right? Our ancestors move things through time, right? We're cleansing, and we're moving, and we're improving. So you have to think, and you have to picture in your mind your ancestors moving and cleansing and pushing away and moving that stuff through. They are all detoxifying things in your body, things in your system. And this is what's valuable. This is what's important. And then when we seek counsel, you know, there's in a lot of religions, we don't necessarily pray to our dead or honor our dead because that's kind of weird for some people. No, but it's very important. The people who have died have transitioned into a new existence. They can hear us. Can they communicate with us? Yes, in ways that we don't understand because we're not in that. It's just like when animals communicate. Sometimes we don't know what they're saying, but we know they're communicating, right? Well, there's different ways to communicate energetic energy from people who have transitioned, people who moved on. Your ancestors are still with you. They're not gone. They have not disappeared. They have just moved into a new dimensional reality of who they are, where they're at. Is it heaven? Is it hell? No, I don't think it's any of those. I think we just move on into this new existence. It's like a 4D object making a 3D shadow. You know, sometimes we see the 4D object and it projects the 3D shadow, like when the light hits it, you know, because when you turn it, but we don't notice that because we're in it. You know, I mentioned this in a lot of shows. Sometimes the ant doesn't see us because we are in a different plane of existence in the same existence. You know, their life is either interrupted or not because of our presence or we, you know, don't see it. Regardless, is until we engage it, then they feel it. Logically, the ant does not have a chance against somebody my size. But there's plenty of ants collaborating, working together. They could do a lot of damage. So when we seek our counsel, we're in the West Door, meditation, sitting and listening to our ancestors and what they're sharing with us. You know, you may be in 2023 and your ancestors are still with you. It may not feel like it sometimes, but when you call upon them through your body, through your system of energetic, you know, DNA and information that's been embedded in you, because it is in there. Science can disagree or agree with me, but this is my truth. That inside of us, through our DNA, our miasms, through our body, through the information that's programmed and pushed down through time, there are informations to help us, guide us, and teach us. There's some innate things that we're just born with. There's some things that we just know automatically. You know, we have to learn a lot of things, but there's a lot of things that we already know. There's some things that we already are in communion with that we can't understand. Inside of our body is recorded history of people who've come before us and people who come before them. But sometimes life gets in the way and we don't see that. So that's kind of a small, just an example of the West Door, okay? And that's another part of all my relations. Now, the medicine wheel is caught into a pie, right, into four squares. And they're all intricately connected, so they're all working together. Each piece of the pie is worked together. So we move to the next door, you know, and the medicine wheel, which would be what the color of white, purity, cleansed, clear, sound. So this is where the respiratory, this is the hummingbird, the wolf. Okay, this is where sound is created. The respiratory system. This is heavenly beings and spirits, seeking spirit. This is where we connect with spirits of good, spirits of higher knowledge, our higher self. This is where we communicate in ways that it's not through spoken word. It's through understanding and the tree spirits, the four-leggeds, the rock people, the standing people, you know, space, outer space, inner space. But this is important because this is the respiratory system. So what's that mean? Sometimes when our own personal spirit is compromised because we don't speak our true voice, and it affects our respiratory. A lot of times we're not well because we're not speaking our true voice. And sometimes I don't speak my true voice because you don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. But who's that? Who does that hurt? It hurts me. But there's a way to speak to people, a way to communicate to people without being a jerk. There's a way to do that. We just have to trust that the way we do it is precise and concise and with a lot of respect. Because when we disrespect others, we disrespect our pieces and parts of ourselves. Heavenly beings and spirits. There's a whole universe out there. And to think that we're the only ones in this universe, you know, the life form, sometimes I think what happens is people think about life forms being like we are. They want us to look like everybody. They want everybody to look like us. Not all life forms look like us. Sometimes they're microorganisms. Sometimes they're just a different shape, a different way. You know, now we're talking about aliens being on our planet I mean, sleep aliens have been around here for a long time. Why is it such a big disclosure now? Why? Because the Earth is sick, the Earth is hurting, and we need help. Because when they left it to us, our own vices, we're not doing too good. You know, we can pray all we want, you know, and that ain't nothing going to change it. There has to be intervention. There has to be something that connects and brings that energy into play. Now we speak our true voice, we give thanks, we honor, and we respect. And you know, this is very valuable energy to harness. And we sing, we talk, we share, meditate, we relax, we listen. And the north door is important because the hummingbird is a very fast moving creature. And at night it becomes very catatonic. It goes to sleep, slows down completely. The wolf communicates through its howl, through its yapping and barking. It's the same way. It has a sense of communication that we sometimes don't understand. But that's kind of where we're at. Our respiratory is very, very valuable. Now moving through the wheel, we move down to the east door. Okay. And this is the condor. This is the eagle. This is the yellow. You know? I didn't get too much into the colors, why we specify the colors, but these are also chakra points in our system when we start to think about them. So this is also the digestive system. Okay, this is the sea is far, people. This is the sea beyond. This is the future. This is the projection. This is the things of recycling. This is the things that what's coming next. You know, you have the eagle. It's a creature that flies high into the sky. It's a messenger of spirit. Then you have the condor. The recycler of things that are no longer in the present moment. It takes that energy and recycles it and creates rebirths energy. It's one of the only creatures that can eat things that other animals can't eat. That's its gift. That's its power. That's its superpower. So this is, ironically, in the east is our digestive. This is where we get worried when we think about things and when things are worrisome to us. What does it usually affect? When we're worried, usually what happens? It affects our gut flora, seeing far, looking beyond what we see in front of us. We have to be like the condor, be able to digest and break down the things. Then we're out of balance. That doesn't happen. Then when we're like the eagle, we have to go high. We have to present and look and see what needs to be seen from different vantage point. Sometimes we go high and we can see things differently. You know, sometimes being in the low echelons, when we're in the crust of it, we don't see it. This is also climbing to the highest peaks and valleys, into the top part of our existence, and seeing things in the future, projecting. But then we get to the top of the mountain and we notice, you know what? We have more to go. We have more to grow. This is where we teach the children to be, you know, in a good space. This is the future. This is where we are. We're only as good as the system that works in our gut, our gut flora. You know, when we eat too much sugar, we eat too much things that are not good for us, it affects our gut, right? And then we have to introduce different pieces and parts in that in order to feel better. Get our gut in alignment. But this all comes down to what we eat and what we ingest into our food and what is sold to us in our food system. And so to understand that, you know, it's one of those things that's very difficult sometimes. So the condor is the recycler of energy. It's the magic guano, you know, it drops it, fertilizes it, and things grow. It takes away things that no longer need to be in this present moment, when I said that earlier. So will they eat everything that needs to go? There's a higher purpose in everything that's on planet Earth. Everything has a way. You know, when our body starts to break down, we start to get older and we start to get sick, what happens? There's a system inside of us that starts to break us down. It starts to create, you know, these lines of communication where it says, hey, fungi, time to get into line. This guy's dying. We got to break him down into dirt. Everything breaks down. There is nothing here that doesn't break down over a period of time. Sometimes it takes longer than others, and sometimes things that don't break down faster and simulated into the process and absorbed and reconstituted into that frame. So we're going to, now we're going to move into the other venue of the medicine wheel, which is actually, it is green. It is the mouse and the snake. It is, looks within our body, looks inside of our spirit. Okay. So here it's the skin, the bones, the muscles, all the different things. Looks within is also our mind, our spirit, our soul, things that are affected by that. Why the snake? Why looks within? Why the mouse? When you look at it, the snake is about creation. It's about, you know, evolving and changing. You know, the snake sheds its skin. A new skin is born. New skin is produced. The old skin is peeled away and it's off. It's a memory of who we were. We're no longer that person. We may be that person, but we're no longer that person. We're more intricately designed. There's a copy of ourselves, just like us. The snake is making a new copy of itself. The same way we make copies of ourselves. Throughout time in history, we're also shedding skin, hair, you know, fluids, all kinds of things are moving through our system and we're releasing, letting go. And so that's what happens with the snake. Snake energy is very powerful. And then we think about the mouse. The mouse is a burrower, something that goes deep inside and it looks, and sometimes we hide like the mouse and we hide our feelings and our emotions, but sometimes we're very destructive like the mouse too. We can destroy a whole home if we wanted to. The mouse is also very, very flexible in its energy. It can get into places where we, you can't get in. So our mind is the same way. Our mind is very flexible, but also our mind, we can get into places that we can get in and sometimes we can't get out. And the snake is the same way. There, the irony here is that you have the snake and the mouse. The mouse is usually eaten by snakes. And then that whole cycle of life. So the hoop is just a good example of how things move. So we're moving into, we're in the south door, and it's our bones, it's our skin. It's about evolving and changing. It's our mind, our spirit, our soul. It's about who we no longer are. You know, who you were 5 years ago, who you were yesterday or last week is not the same person. Your actions that you created or whatever, those are still part of you, but not you. Regardless if you did right or wrong, it's still you, but it's another version of you, because a part of you will either evolve or devolve in that process. You will either move into a better frame of mind, understanding that you were out of line and you screwed up, or you'll continue the same behavior. You carry it through. Why do people do bad things? Because sometimes they can, and sometimes they just don't know how to do better, because it's easier to keep doing dysfunctional behavior than try to make my behavior better. So, and our body is constantly in flux, constantly moving. Our muscles, as we get older, you know, they fatigue, they change, they shrink. As long as if we're not taking care of our body, if we're not fixing ourselves constantly, then our system is affected by all the systems. You know, you look at the respiratory and the skin and the muscles. The respiratory and the skin can all be affected. The digestive can be affected by the respiratory. You know, we have digestive issues. It can affect respiratory, your breathing. Because when you can't dislodge, you can't move uric acid out of your body, where does it go? It goes through the lungs, right? I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's where it goes. It pushes through. You cough, you move, you're sick. Liver, kidneys, right? What happens? It affects the skin, right? You have issues with liver. What's it affect? It affects the color of your skin. Your body's trying to purge and move the energy out. That stuck energy, that stuff that doesn't serve us. Your kidneys, when they don't work, what happens? They shut down. They start not working. You die eventually. Your system is designed, your system is perfectly designed to put you back in the ground. You have a shelf life. And the shelf life was determined by outside factors and inside factors, and the factors of who you are and how you see the world. Can you live forever? Your spirit and your mind can live forever. The energy hosted inside of you, that energy that's having a human experience, it can. But this body, this vessel that we have, this vessel, this body we have right here, it has limitations. The limitations are it won't last forever. It is like anything. If you don't take care of it, you don't take care of a house, you don't take care of a building, you don't take care of a situation, what happens? It starts to fall apart and crumble. It starts to have issues. So we're no different. We're no different than a house that's not tended to. You know, if you have a leak in your house, what happens? The leak continues, right? Until you tend to it. You know, if you don't have heat in your house in the wintertime, what happens? Pipes burst. Things break. All kinds of things happen. What happens if you don't turn your AC on? Well, it's hot in the house. It affects other systems. It affects the refrigerator. It affects, you know, electronics. It affects all kinds of things. Everything's interconnected. Everything's intertwined. So to think that we're not intertwined, you know, even when you look at the different animals in this thing, you see the eagle could go after a snake or a mouse. You see the wolf, you know, can go after, you know, a buffalo, you know. You see the hummingbird, it can go into different aspects of, you know, the energy from growing when the plants grow. It takes from the nectar. The jaguar. Everything's intertwined. Everything's interwoven. You know, when you start breaking inside to the middle of the medicine wheel, there are different animals in different aspects. But everybody has their own internal medicine wheel. Everybody has their own system of how they see the world. But I'll tell you, the world doesn't wait for you. The world will not wait for you. It cannot wait for you. It will not wait for you to make decisions to betterment your life. Your life gets better when you decide to make it better. You know, and we hear that all the time. Oh, yeah, well, you know, we're so loaded with excuses sometimes about why we don't do things and why we don't see things and why we're not open to understand things differently or approach things differently. Because sometimes it's too easy. Sometimes people won't do things because it's just too easy. Not because it's hard, just because, you know, we don't want to do it. Our laziness affects us. We get complacent. There's so many of us on this planet that everybody thinks they're special sometimes. And you know what? Darn it. I want to say you are special. But so is the next person. So is the next person. So is the next person. You may not think so, and they may not be special to you, but they are special because they all contribute in one way or another to how this world moves. You know, you have people in China who are working in a factory right now, creating things so you can have things like this, you know, so you can have things like this. You know, there's people who are creating things. You know, when we're all connected, even to the person you will never meet ever in your life, you have this sphere of people of influence that you work from. And sometimes it's only 3 or 4 or 5 people, but nonetheless, you have a sphere of influence. And then you belong to a sphere of influence where somebody else has influential ways of doing things and you're part of that group. Sometimes you're the group. Sometimes people do what you want to do. You know, when I do my drum circles, I don't do it just for me. I do it for us. I do it for the group. I do it so we can have an amazing time. And then there's other people, their ego gets in the way. They think that I'm just doing it because, I mean, you know, because I'm going to be a big shot. No, I've been doing it for so long. It's just naturally, I just naturally do it. Since 2000, I've been doing drum circles. Since 2000, I've been working, doing things. Now the bigger events, yeah. But this is a good example of humanity. Humanity is a jealous thing. They can be so jealous from one another. They can be so destructive to each other. And this is why it's important to study the medicine wheel. If you don't have a medicine wheel, let me know. I can help you with mine. I can share it with you. This is just one of many medicine wheels that I have. You can study. You can learn. I can tell you what's wrong with your body just by looking at this medicine wheel. But humanity right now, well, it's going to have to make some very vital decisions if it wants to evolve into a new existence. We're not evolving into anything new right now. Everything is very complacent, very standardized, and very the same. We try to destroy people that we think have done us wrong or just don't do things we do. We wait to be destructive to others. You know, we side on things that don't align with us, but we side on them because it's better to side with them than not be part of the other. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? I don't side with any of that energy. Compromise our constantly, all the time. And that's something that, you know, I find very weird because it's like, if you don't agree with something, then why do you align yourself with the lesser evils of life? We do this every day. Oh, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to cause a problem. Well, what problem are you really causing when you speak your true voice? When you're seeking heavenly beings and spirits in the north, when you're being the wolf and the hummingbird? What are you speaking? You know, when you get angry and frustrated, it affects your liver and your kidneys, your gallbladder. You have a gallstone attack. You know, when we're frustrated, you know, we hurt ourselves. We don't want to eat because our digestive system is compromised. It's all connected, my friends. It's not just one system that's affected. It's multiple systems that are affected in our body. Multiple systems. And if multiple systems are affected, that means we have some work to do. And sometimes doing the work and seeing the work and how we do the work is daunting because we don't want to see the problems we have. Sometimes we don't want to be labeled or stereotyped into believing that something is wrong with us. But, you know, sometimes we have to get very vulnerable and very open. And we have to be like all my relations, the nervous system. We have to be, you know, just that energy, knowing that, you know, we have to strip away the layers and look at ourselves. The only person you can really adjust and fix is you. I can sit here and talk to you and help you and move you through energy, but you have to take those steps. Those few steps, and they're not many. Sometimes you just have to take a few steps to get you where you need to be. Because if you won't, like I always tell you, somebody else is going to lead you and move you into that energy. Why? Because you've given them permission. Did I give them permission? Sure you did. If you're not willing to make a decision for yourself, you're going to be a follower. And sometimes you follow and sometimes you lead. But for some people, it's just easier to lead and just go with the flow. And that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there comes a point when you know instinctively that you have to go a different direction. And the hard part is when you don't do that. When you know that you can make a huge difference in other people's lives, and we don't do that. And now why we don't do that, I don't know. There's times where, I'm afraid that I'll say something. I won't say something because I'm afraid someone will find it stupid. Well, you know what? You won't know until you say it or you share it. You know, when you don't come from the space, your heart space, you'll know. You'll know. People are just people. They want to do their best they can. Some people just want to be left alone. Some people are really engaged and they're in everything. The people wouldn't be left alone. Leave them alone. The people who are engaged, let them be engaged. If you don't agree, fine. Say you don't agree and move on. Why beat a dead horse, like they say, right? You just have to know when to cut. You have to learn to read the room. You know, on Mother Earth, we don't read the room on Mother Earth. We pretend like there's nothing wrong. We pretend like there's nothing going to happen. We pretend like everything's okay, everything's fine. I'm not even talking about global warming. That's a whole different stuff. That's a whole different system to talk about. That's like Sky Father energy. I'm talking about Mother Earth energy. You know, if someone was to take blood out of me every single day, that's going to affect me. Because eventually the blood that's in me is not the same blood that was in me to begin with. You know, my body's creating it, but it's a whole different version of my system. You know, the system where I was 5 years ago is probably even the same. It's like Mother Earth, when we take it, we break it down. Sure, there's pressure and then we're taking oil, but is the oil pure? Is the oil refined? You know, what's going to happen? You know, there's two oceans that meet, the Pacific and the Atlantic. There's a place where it meets and they can't mix. Our bodies are the same way. There's a place in our body where, you know, they meet and is different. So my friends, I'm just saying, do your very best to work on the aspects of your physical body as much as you work. A lot of us work on our spiritual body, mind, spirit, and soul, but our body is always kind of left hanging. Our body's left hanging because, number one, we're usually too tired to do anything about it, and we're too fixated in other things. But I tell you, my friends, when your body is in alignment to a degree where, you know, it's in alignment with your spirit and your soul, all kinds of amazing things happen. All kinds of amazing things happen. But what we cannot do is think that we're just the spiritual part of us is going to carry us. Sure, it'll carry us to a certain thing, to a certain level. But eventually what happens is that your physical body, you have to feed it properly, take care of it properly. And your spiritual part can help your physical part heal and become better. And you have to believe that. But when our physical body is compromised, you know, it affects our spiritual part because our body starts to go into fix me mode. And then we cannot be in the spiritual realm of healing. When our body's sick, it's very difficult to go into that spiritual aspect. Unless you truly, truly have worked on yourself to the point where you can move out of the physical body into the spiritual body come back in and help heal that. All healing is self-healing. I believe that we can all heal ourselves when we have the right proper tools into our disposal. And those right proper tools can be physical and can be spiritual. But we just have to believe that. But if you don't believe that you're going to heal, then you won't heal. You know, that's just the old saying. If you believe you can do it, fine. If you believe you can't, you're right. It's just how the universe works. The universe says, I want this. Sure, you do. I don't want this. That's correct. You don't. That's how the universe works. It doesn't go, no, you don't want. No, the universe says, I want a lighter. Okay. I don't want a lighter. Okay. I want to heal. Okay. I don't want to heal. Okay. Because what happens is when you want to heal, the universe will direct into your favor all the right things you need. So I've given you a lot to think about. There's a lot of things to, you know, process. So I hope that helps you guys a little bit for today. I remember we have a drum circle in Zendoa too, right after the class. So I hope you can make it to Bell Fountain, Ohio at Zendoa's Healing Center. Shaman 0.20 class will be there. And then at 7 p.m. we're going to have our drum circle. So if you can make it, come on out. If not, then we'll be more drum circles. All right, my friends, thank you very much. I really appreciate you being here. Iggy Garcia with Insights Radio on YouTube, on Instagram, at Mandriotti, on TikTok at Iggy13, here on Facebook, Iggy Garcia. Just join me next time on Iggy Garcia Live. I hope you enjoyed your show. We'll talk to you soon. Be well. Ho'oponopono, matakuyasan. It's good to be here, my friends.